Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the defeat of the Egyptians as we pick up in Jeremiah chapter 46, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Let's turn now in our Bibles to Jeremiah 46. Beginning with chapter 45, we came into the sixth part or section of the book of Jeremiah. And this sixth section is comprised of miscellaneous prophecies that are directed mainly to those nations that were around Israel. And so as we get into chapter 46, we find the introduction to these series of prophecies as he addresses them to the Gentiles, the Gentile kingdoms. And so God is going to address himself to those Gentile nations now round about Israel. So the word of the Lord, which came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Gentiles, against Egypt, against the army of Pharaoh Necho, the king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates in Carchemish, which Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, smote in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Order the buckler and the shield, draw near to battle, harness the horses, get up, ye horsemen, stand forth with your helmets, furbish the spears, and put on the brigandines. Wherefore have I seen them dismayed and turned away back, and their mighty ones are beaten down and fled apace, and look not back, for fear was round about, saith the Lord. Let not the swift flee away, nor the mighty man escape. They shall stumble and fall toward the north by the river Euphrates. Who is this that cometh up as a flood, whose waters are moved as the rivers? Egypt riseth up like a flood, and his waters are moved like the rivers. And he saith, I will go up and will cover the earth and will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. Come up, ye horses, and rage, ye chariots, and let the mighty men come forth, the Ethiopians and the Libyans that handle the shield, and the Lydians that handle and bend the bow. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiated and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Go up into Gilead, and take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain shalt thou use many medicines, for thou shalt not be cured. The nations have heard of thy shame, and thy cry hath filled the land, for the mighty man hath stumbled against the mighty, and they are fallen both together. And so God actually is speaking of the defeat of the Egyptians, thereby the river Euphrates at Carchemish, and of the turning back of the Egyptians in this battle. The interesting thing, go up to Gilead, take the balm. Gilead was known through the ancient world as the place of medicines. You remember the passage that Jeremiah earlier declared, is there no balm in Gilead? And is there no healer there? But there is no healing for Egypt. They are to receive the judgment of God, and God is going to use the Babylonian armies as his instrument of bringing his judgment against Egypt. This is basically why Jeremiah warned the people not to go down to Egypt to try to find safety there. He said, if you go to Egypt to escape the sword, surely the sword will follow you in Egypt, and the famine and the pestilence, and you will die in Egypt. You won't come back to the land. But the people did not obey the voice of the Lord. They came back to Egypt. But here now he is just really bringing the whole issue of Egypt into prophetic focus. Now, as he focuses upon the various nations, there are a lot of people who wonder why the United States isn't brought forth into a prophetic focus, in that the United States has become such an important nation in these days. But if you'll read in the book of Revelation, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And really, all prophecy centers around the person of Jesus. And because the nation Israel was so important to the coming of Jesus, we find many prophecies relating to Israel and then to those nations that related to Israel in either a good or an evil sense in those days. But it isn't God's intention through prophecy to spell out the future of each nation that would arise in the world, but only those nations that would bear directly upon the coming of Jesus Christ, either in his first or second coming. And when you read that most of the prophecies against the nations are those of judgment and all, it's probably a good thing that we don't read about the United States, because surely I'm certain that the Lord would have some pretty stern words for us today. The word that the Lord spake to Jeremiah the prophet, verse 13, how Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, should come and smite the land of Egypt. Now, this is going now into the second part of the prophecy. The first part of it dealt with the battle up at Carchemish, where the Pharaoh was defeated by Babylon. And now he is speaking about a coming invasion of Babylon on down into Egypt. Declare ye in Egypt, and publish in Migdol, and publish in Noph, and Tapanhes, and say ye, stand fast, and prepare thee, for the sword shall devour all around you. Why are the valiant men swept away? They stood not, because the Lord did drive them. He made many to fall, yea, one fell upon another. And they said, arise, and let us go again to our own people and to the land of our nativity from the oppressing sword. They did cry there, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, is but a noise. He hath passed the time appointed. As I live, saith the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts, surely as Tabor is among the mountains and Carmel by the sea, so shall it come. O thou daughter dwelling in Egypt, furnish thyself to go into captivity, for Noph shall be waste and desolate without an inhabitant. Egypt is like a very fair heifer, but destruction is coming. It is coming out of the north, from Babylon. Also her hired men are in the midst of her like fatted bullocks, for they are turned back and are fled away together. They did not stand, because the day of their calamity was come upon them and the time of their visitation. The voice thereof shall go like a serpent, for they shall march with an army and come against her with axes and hewers of wood. They shall cut down her forests, saith the Lord, though it cannot be searched, because they are more than the grasshoppers and are innumerable. The daughter of Egypt shall be confounded. She shall be delivered into the hand of the people of the north. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saith, behold, I will punish the multitude of No and Pharaoh and Egypt with their gods and their kings, even Pharaoh, and all of them that trust in him. And I will deliver them into the hands of those that seek their lives, in the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, to the hand of his servants. And afterwards it shall be inhabited as the days of old, saith the Lord. So Egypt is to be invaded. It is to be defeated by Nebuchadnezzar, but yet they will yet inhabit the land. Now, God, in the last couple of verses, gives encouragement to his people, but fear not thou, O my servant Jacob. Be not dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save thee from afar off and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return and be in rest and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. Fear thou not, O Jacob, my servant, saith the Lord, for I am with thee, and I will make a full end of all of the nations whither I have driven thee. But I will not make a full end of thee, but correct thee in measure. Yet will I not leave thee wholly unpunished. So, as is so often the case, when you find God speaking of the judgment that is going to come, he sort of ends it with a bright light as he turns back towards the nation of Israel, the house of Jacob. Don't be afraid. And he's talking about the yet future time, the kingdom age, when God is going to visit with them again and bring them back into the land, and when God is going to punish the nations, whether they have been driven. In the second coming of Jesus Christ, there will be the gathering of the nations together. Then shall he gather together the nations as a shepherd and separates the sheep from the goats. And he will say unto those on his left hand, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I was hungry, you did not feed me. Thirsty, you did not give me to drink. So forth. Lord, when did we see you this way? Inasmuch as you did it unto the least of these, my brethren. It is speaking of the treatment of the nations, of how the nations treated Israel. And the nations will be judged for their treatment of Israel. God said way back to Abraham, I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. Anti-Semitism is a horrible thing, and it is something that no child of God should be caught up in. Unfortunately, there is a lot of anti-Semitism even within many churches today. There are those who try to say that the modern-day Jew isn't truly a Jew, that he is an Ashkenazim and so forth, and they use that as an excuse for failure to support these people today. But the nations will be brought before the Lord and have to answer for their treatment of God's people. And God declares that he'll make a full end of all of the nations, whether they've been driven, but he'll not make a full end of the nation of Israel. But it will be a very central figure in the reign of Christ in the kingdom age. In chapter 47, he takes now his prophecies against the Philistines. And the city of Gaza was already taken by the Pharaoh. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Philistines before that Pharaoh smote Gaza. Now, Pharaoh ultimately smote Gaza, one of the large Philistine cities. Thus saith the Lord, behold, waters rise up out of the north, and shall be an overflowing flood. So the waters out of the north would be Babylon. And they shall overflow the land. The overflowing flood is a type, the word flood is used in typology as the armies. They will overflow the land and all that is therein, the city and them that dwell therein. Then the men shall cry and all the inhabitants of the land shall howl at the noise of the stamping of the hoofs of the strong horses, at the rushing of his chariots, and at the rumbling of his wheels. The fathers shall not look back to their children for feebleness of hands, because of the day that cometh to spoil all of the Philistines, and to cut off from Tyrus and Sidon every helper that remaineth. For the Lord will spoil the Philistines and the remnant of the country of Camptor. Now, Camptor is the island of Cyprus from which, or is it Crete, where the Philistines originally came from. Baldness has come upon Gaza, Ashkelon, another Philistine city, is cut off with the remnant of their valley. How long wilt thou cut thyself? O thou sword of the Lord, how long will it be ere you be quiet? Put up thyself into thy scabbard, rest and be still. How can it be quiet, seeing the Lord hath given it a charge against Ashkelon and against the seashore? There hath he appointed it. And so the destruction that was to come upon the Philistines. And of course, the Philistines were utterly destroyed. The modern Palestinian is not at all related to the Philistines, but the word Palestine does come from this word Philistine. In 48, he now directs his attention to Moab. Moab was across the Jordan, on the east side of the Jordan River and of the Jordan Rift. Against Moab, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, woe unto Nebo, for it is spoiled. Now, this is not Mount Nebo, but the city of Nebo in Moab at that time. Kiriathaim is confounded and taken. Mizgab is confounded and dismayed, a couple of the cities. There shall be no more praise of Moab. In Heshbon they have devised evil against it. Come and let us cut off from being a nation. Also thou shalt be cut down, O madmen. The sword shall pursue thee. A voice of crying shall be from Horonaim, spoiling a great destruction. Moab is destroyed. Her little ones have caused a cry to be heard. For in the going up of Luhith, continual weeping shall go up, for in the going down to Horonaim, the enemies have heard a cry of destruction. Flee, save your lives, be like the heath in the wilderness. For because thou hast trusted in thy works and in thy treasures, thou shalt be taken. Trusting in their works and in their riches. These are the things that people commonly trust in. How many people today are trusting in their works for their standing before God? How many people are trusting in their riches for their security? But in the day of God's judgment, neither of these have any value. The spoiler shall come upon every city. No city will escape. The valley also shall perish, and the plain shall be destroyed, as the Lord hath spoken. Give wings unto Moab, that it may flee and get away, for the cities thereof shall be desolate, without any to dwell therein. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. Mark that one if it isn't already underlined in your Bible. God declares that curse against any man who would do the work of the Lord deceitfully. And cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Moab hath been at ease from his youth, and he has settled on his lees, and he has not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither has he gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remained in him, and his scent is not changed. And so as God speaks of the destruction that is coming upon Moab, now he gives us the reason for the destruction that is coming. For Moab has been at ease from his youth. Moab has not had any problems. Moab has been sheltered and protected. And because of it being sheltered and protected, it has become weak, and it is ready now to fall. And then he turns to a illustration of winemaking processes and uses that as a illustration of Moab having settled in her lees. In the making of wine, they would pour the juice of the grape into a large container, and then they would allow it to just set there until it fermented. And after the fermentation, these lees or dregs would begin to settle to the bottom of the vessel. And as these dregs had settled in the bottom of the vessel, then they would pour off the top into another vessel. Allow the settling process to go on again and then pour it off into the next vessel, back and forth from vessel to vessel, letting the dregs settle down and developing the clarity and purity of the wine. Now, when these dregs began to settle, if you did not pour the wine off of the dregs, then the dregs turn sour and they begin to smell. And he said, this is the problem with Moab. It's been at ease, never had any problem, never been disturbed, never poured from vessel to vessel. It has settled down on the lees, which have turned sour, and thus the scent remains. The taste is in the wine of the sourness of the lees. And thus Moab is to be destroyed.
Continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Jeremiah in our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Jeremiah 46 through 48 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May God bless you and keep His hand upon your life to guide, to strengthen, to bless. May the Lord be with you throughout all your activities this week. May He minister to your life in such a way that you'll be very conscious of the presence of God. May the Lord bless, watch over and keep you through Jesus Christ our Lord.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Hey, I want to tell you about a biblical counseling ebook by Chuck Smith. It's pretty easy to download and takes only a minute. I can't tell you how grateful I am for something like this. It's a game changer for anyone who needs to counsel or talk with someone on the spot. Like when I'm talking with my friends and a complicated issue comes up, I can do a quick search on my phone and get immediate answers that lead them to God's Word. So not only do I get Pastor Chuck's commentary, but I can find out what the Bible says about it. There's seriously so many helpful topics, like dating or self-image, lust, waiting on God, or even what certain religions or cults mean. I could even use this when I have a question myself. To download the Biblical Counseling ebook by Chuck Smith, or to preview a demo, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link provided. To find out more, you can call 1-800-272-9673. 1-800-272-9673.